Does the thing want to start? Yeah, it does. Okay.
So, we're going to look at the chart in a moment. The chart is a long-promised chart to make everybody's life a little easier. You've heard this on several occasions from me, but I think it's, for those who are not, you know, audio learners, so now you will see it visually. Before we get there, we have one short gemara, one brief gemara to do, on Daf Samach Zayin Amid Aleph. So the last gemara we did was that even though no sein tam lefgam is permitted, it's only permitted if it's pogame mitchila v'yatzof. In other words, when it falls into the tavshil, it's pogame, and then you cook it or do something to it, and it's also pogame. So that's what we learned. That was the last thing. So now we're about 11 lines from the bottom. Amar Reish Lakish. And the gemara is about to present two versions of Reish Lakish. That the first time I looked at it, and even the second time I looked at it, I couldn't tell the difference. The Rishonim explain the difference, and it becomes clear from the Gemara on Daf Samach Zayin Amid Beis. But right now, let's start with, again, about 11 lines from the bottom on Samach Zayin Amid Aleph. Amar Reish Lakish. No Sein Tam Lefgam Sha'amru. When they speak about No Sein Tam Lefgam being permitted, Lo Sheyomru Kedera Zo Chasera Melach Yisera Melach Chasera Tavlin Yisera Tavlin. It's not a case where the dish doesn't taste good because you need more salt or you need less salt or you need more spices and you need fewer spices. Rather, ela kol she'ein chasera klum ve'ein ne'echeles min p'nei zeh. It has to be that basically the dish was good and ready before, and the only reason why it has the only reason why the isser has a negative impact is because of the isser. If the isser has a negative impact because the dish needed more salt, so then nothing doing. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi writes, and I think I have a suspicion, by the way, that this Rashi was not in Rashi, because Tosfos quotes basically Rashi verbatim without quoting Rashi, and just says the exact same thing, word for word. And I'm kind of wondering whether somebody, you know, why Tosfos would have quoted it when he doesn't argue on it, and he doesn't quote it in the name of Rashi, so, but it doesn't really matter. Lo Sheyomru, the second narrow line in Rashi, Chumrahi. This version of Reish Lakish is a Chumrah. Klomar, lo sheyuchu lases pgam betavshel mechamas davar acher. It's not that the isser cannot be that it's not treated as no sein tam lefgam if it's only pogame because of something else going on in the tavshel. Kegon shetehe chasera melech or yesera melech. De'im nifgam mechamas davar acher ein tolen hapagam ve'isser ve'osser. In other words, the fact that it doesn't taste good, you can't assume that it's because of the isser, that the isser is no sein tam lefgam. You have to assume that maybe the isser itself is no sein tam leshvach, and the only reason it's no good is because it's missing salt or it has too much salt, etc. Ella, Rashi says, ezu tam lefgam shemutar, kol she'eno chasera shum tikun. But and it's only because of the isser. Literally, Rashi says, the Gemara says that you can't eat it. But Rashi says, klomar, it's not that you can't eat the food. If you can't eat the food, it's not a problem. Because you can't eat the food, who cares what's mixed into it? But klomar, what it means, in a necheles, is the isser ze pogame taima, the in a necheles lav davka, the chaven the bikima supporta karela in a necheles. Doesn't really matter. As long as the impact of the non kosher food is slightly negative, the fact that you can still eat it, because again, if you couldn't eat it, you wouldn't be asking the shaila. So nonetheless, it is prohibited. That's the first version of the Gemara. Ve'ika da amri. Amarei Shlakish, no sein tam lefgam she omru, that's so far literally, ein omrim, now I'm not sure if this is the different part, because in the first version it's lo she yomru, ein omrim, kedera zo chasera melech yesera melech chasera tavlin yesera tavlin, elahashta miya hapagma, you don't say ah, you know the isser is not really pogam, it's only because you need more salt, or you need less salt, or you need more spices, you need fewer spices, nope, if it's pogma now, then it's permitted. Rashi writes, "V'ika da amrei hadereish lakish lakula." No sein tam lefgam sha'amru ein omer klomar ein tolin hapagam b'davar acher. You don't attribute the fact that it doesn't taste exactly right to something else. Lomar chasera himelach v'ilu haya kitikuno lo haya za iser pogma shamelach haya mevatelas pegimas tama iser misakno. You don't say that had there been enough salt, it would have overridden any negative impact of the iser, and it would have made it more beneficial. Ela kevan d'taam ha iser pogma achshav kemoshehi have pigam umotar. Since right now the impact of the isser falling is to make it worse, it doesn't matter that if this tavshil, if this stew had the right amount of salt, the right amount of spices, the impact of the isser would be positive. Therefore, we say that it is permitted. In fact, we're going to rule this way based upon the Gemara on Samach Zainam and Beis. We paskin like Reish Lakish, right, the second version of Reish Lakish Lekula. Okay. Now we begin what is a brief Gemara, but a major, major halachic issue in Yeridea, with any number of ramifications. In almost every shaila you can deal with, when you deal with substances that are mixed together, which are what we call mimbish enomina, of different flavors, this issue potentially comes up. In a nutshell, the question is the prohibition by mimbish enomina, by two things of different flavors, is that prohibition, when you can taste the isser, even though there might be 1/30th, let's say, or 1/20th, is that isser an isser d'oraisa or an isser d'rabbanan? It's a central question that occupies the Rishonim. So the first thing that I want to do is mention to you a distinction, actually, in terms of mixtures, a threefold distinction, which is going to be irrelevant lahalacha, but perhaps relevant in understanding Rashi, although Rashi doesn't explain as much as we would like. You can have, once you talk about a majority of Isser against Heter, there's nothing to talk about. That's a given that you're talking about eating the Isser itself. The question is, what happens if you have a majority of Heter and a minority of Isser? You have 50%+ of Heter. So it would seem, at least based upon our sugya, that no one holds that eating this is permitted just because you have 51% of Heter. The first threshold that you get to, that there would be those who would hold that it's permissible to eat, is going to be what's called kezayis bechdeyachi las pras. Rashi will talk about a little bit on the bottom of our page what is a pras. A pras is either 3 or 4 kibetzim. A beitza, even though this is very problematic, is assumed to be 2 kezesim. An egg is assumed to be, we often say, the volume of 2 kezesim, which means there are either 6 or 8 kezesim in 3 or 4 kebetzim. And if you have, and 6 or 8 kezesim now, is what's called a pras. We often, you might have heard the term kezayis, well, I just said it now. You have to eat the matzah on Leil Pesach, betoch kedei achilas pras. So a pras would be these 3 or 4 beitzim, these 6 or 8 kezesim eaten normally. So 1 kezayis, 1 out of 6 or 1 out of 8, already reaches the threshold of being problematic as an issa d'oraisa, and the logic being the following. If I eat, we can talk about how I eat it, but as Rashi will say, if I eat a pras normally, toch kedei achilas pras, and the amount of isser in the mixture distributed throughout is a kezayis b'toch de'achilas pras, then one might say, in fact the Gemara does here say, the way Rashi understands it, that it's like I've eaten a kezayis, forget that it's mixed in. I take a kezayis of chazir, I take a little bit, munch, I eat. And then half a minute later, I take another piece, and another piece, and another piece. And eventually, I make sure I'm on time of the clock. I got to get that kezayis of chazir before the clock, you know, strikes 8 minutes, whatever how many minutes it is. So then, clearly that would be an issur d'oraisa, and so the same thing holds true even when it's in a mixture. Certainly if I eat enough of the mixture, betolcha de'achidas pras, which means a pras, and within that pras is contained a kezayis. Once you have less than kezayis betolcha de'achidas pras, once the issur is less than 1/6 or 1/8 of the heter, but I can taste it. So that's what the Rishonim typically referred to as ta'am ke'ikar. Or in our Gemara, as the Ritva points out, he thinks it's the same thing but slightly different language, ta'amo velo mamasho. The ta'am, but not the mamasho, not the actual substance itself. Now, when we deal with Shailas Halacha L'maisa, we do not draw a distinction between the following two scenarios. Imagine you're making a chicken soup, and your children are very finicky, and they don't like the vegetables, the whole vegetables in the chicken soup. So what you do is, you take the vegetables, you put them in cheesecloth, you put them in the soup, and when you're done, I don't know if anybody's children, I couldn't imagine having any such children like that, and when you're done, after you've cooked and you've gotten all the carrot flavors, you remove the bag with the carrots. Now, I understand on a molecular level, obviously, material of the carrot has seeped through the bag that's slid into the thing, but you don't get the end pieces. Rashi here, it's not as clear as one might like, but it's very clear from a very difficult sugya in that they just did in Daf Yomi in the last week on Daf Tzadi Tes in Chulin. It's very clear Rashi draws a distinction between a situation where the carrots, let's say, get all blended up and you can't see them. And let's say this weren't chicken soup where you probably see the carrots blend up. Let's say you made meatballs and you did this with the cheesecloth bag with the carrots and you pull it out. The flavor of the carrots might be in there, but Rashi would say there's no mamashus. Whereas if, in fact, the carrots were blended throughout, for Rashi that seems to be something different. Rashi in Chulin seems to understand that independent, at least midrabanan, of not being able to taste the carrots, meaning let's call it shishim. We're going to just call shishim. That means no Saint Tom. In addition, you're not, and really, Alpidin, it's not 60. It's whatever at whatever amount you need so as not to taste the Yisr. Rashi there has some idea that in addition to that, you have to have bittul of the mamashar spashishim, meaning if it wasn't pulled out, if you weren't able to extract the whole parts that appear whole to us, then there's a separate issue. Number one, you have to be mevata, what I'll call the mamish, the actual stuff, and then you also can't taste it. Not being able to taste it is the Rabbanon, according to Rashi. And as Rashi's view is that no matter how flavorful those carrots are, if I pull the bag of carrots out and the carrots are essentially intact, then that tam ki ikar is only the Rabbanon, that not being batel. So Rashi's got, but if the carrots themselves were blended, and independent of the taste, let's say they're the blandest carrots in the world, and you couldn't taste them, Rashi still seems to think you need bittul b'shishim. Many of the Rishonim and Chulin jump all over Rashi. I wouldn't mention that because it might confuse you, except for when we read Rashi carefully, you're going to see that even Rashi here hasn't forgotten about what he said in Chulin, or it's a precursor to what he's going to say in Chulin. For our purposes, when we paskin shailas, we don't draw a distinction fundamentally between whether or not the carrots are left in there blended up, you know, pureed, versus if you pull the carrots out. Our assumption is that if I have carrots, if I have 10 ounces of carrots, and I let them, as soon as I let them stew in the pot for 10 minutes, and it's hot, I assume all the flavor of the carrots has gone out. I mean, I assume that there's 10 ounces of carrots in there. I understand that that's not true in Matzias, but we never know how much of the carrots came out. Therefore, we assume all the carrot flavor came out. But we don't draw a distinction whether or not you pull the cheesecloth bag with the carrots out or whether or not you puree the carrots and just leave them in there. It actually doesn't matter. We apply the rules of Bittul the same way. We're going to use Shishim as our general rule. So for our purposes, there's no difference between Ta'am, abstract time when you manage to pull the end stuff out versus when you did it. It makes no difference. It's still going to be the same question of tam ki ikar. And so now...
Wait a minute. So how do you... If it's not the end...
Right.
So how do you measure the bottle of shishim?
Well, the answer is we assume that all the be'en was polated its time because we don't know. It's a Gemara, a little and Daf Tzadi Zayin, Giran Asha, that you have to be Misha'er Bo with it, not the Maidenafik Mine, not with what came out of it, because we don't know how much came out of it. Right? So we're Machmir to assume all of the flavor came out. We know that that's not true in most cases. We know it's only partially true, but we don't know how much. So if there were 6 ounces of carrots in there, we imagine that the 6 ounces of carrots have absorbed a full 6 ounces of meatball flavor. If you ate the carrots, they taste like meatballs, and all the 6 ounces of carrot flavor are in the meatballs. The Gemara knows that that's not true, but the Gemara says because we don't have a means of being mishayer, of measuring how much flavor came out.
We assume the worst case scenario.
We assume the worst case scenario, correct. Okay. So ignoring that distinction, let's just now talk about mixtures where you have two different kinds of flavors and of the same flavor, and mixtures where they blend and mixtures where they don't blend. So I've created a chart here, which you've heard from me, Baal Peh, but I think it may be easier to see in the chart. So if you look at the chart, you'll see on the top we have one column of Minbamino, means the same flavor, and we have one column of Mishain Amino, two things of different flavors. On the left side, going down in the rows, we have lach belach, a mixture that blends, which could usually be, it could be two liquids, it could be a liquid falling into a solid, or it could be two solids that are like flour that really blend together. That's called lach belach. It means that the Isser and the Heter blend together, they don't stand out as discrete items that we just happen not to be able to identify.
Two pieces of meat would be in that car.
No, because two pieces of meat, they're discrete. You don't know which is which. In other words, let's talk about three pieces of meat even better. I have two kosher pieces of salami.
Oh, Okay, I understand.
So the second row, if you look, is Yavesh B'Yavesh, a mixture with discrete items but no blending. So I have, whatever the guys on the street play with, their three cups, right? But instead, three, whatever you call it. So you have three pieces of meat. I have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of treif meat. They look the same. Now, that leaves us with four possibilities. We can have Mimbishein Omino, either Lach Belach, where they blend, or where they don't blend, Yavesh B'Yavesh. And we can have Mimbishein Omino, where either they blend, or two different flavors, but Chaz or Schmaltz falls into meatballs, two different flavors, but it's all blended together. Or maybe even where ground up pork and ground up beef, and they get all blended together. Or Mimbishein Omino, where the items stand discrete. Now, that last one I've mentioned before is not an easy category to actually come up with in the real world. Because, if I have a cow, a sheep, and a pig, and I have them run around in circles till they're one big blur, and then they stop, I can still tell where the pig is. If I take their meat and I grind it up together, then you can talk about it, blending together. So how is it that you can ever have a tarovis, a mixture of mimbishein amino, but yavesh b'yavesh, right? Lach b'lach, I understand. The pieces of meat are identical. It's their metaphysical status that fundamentally differs. So I can't tell. I can't look at it, which is the kosher, which is the treif meat. There is a story, actually. Apparently, the Noda Behuda's daughter was very into the besht. She was always coming back and telling Hasidic stories. So apparently, she came back to her father. Noda Behuda was like the giant. He was the Godel Hador. Certainly in Europe probably 17th century, Prague, 18th century. So she came back and said that a woman would bring him a chicken, and he would look at the chicken and decide whether it was kosher or not. He could look and tell whether or not it had a Ruach HaTumah floating on it. So her father said to her, the big deal, he has to see the chicken in order to pass on it. I don't have to, you can just describe me the situation. But in the case of three pieces of meat, so if they're identical, I can understand why they're blended together. So how is it exactly that you even get a taroves of...
But would all meat have the same... Would all meat be bimino?
Not all. From Mindamino's definition, we say same flavor. That's what it says on top of the chart.
So if you have a charred piece of lamb and a charred piece of pork, or two charred pieces of lamb and one charred piece of pork, you wouldn't be able to tell.
Okay, so that's possible, although I would say amusingly, once you take a bite, you probably can. But
that's why it's...
I'll give you the better example, the easier example to deal with. Again, it's not a common occurrence. Suppose that I have one slice of lamb, one slice of beef, and one slice of goat's meat, and one of them was a trefa, but we don't know which animal was a trefa. Right? Some guy, son of the shochet, he was on his last legs, or he was going away on a vacation. It's the last time you talk to him, and the last words, he's got laryngitis, he can get out of his mouth, is a trefa, it's the, and he can't say the last word. So one of these three pieces of meat is a trefa, but you don't know which one. So you can tell which is the cow meat, you can tell which is the lamb meat, you can tell which is the goat meat, but you don't know which one is the trefa. So it's mimbishein omino, but it's yavesh b'yavesh. That's a rare occurrence. It's not a common occurrence. It's usually on the chart, you can leave the bottom right corner one off as a typical occurrence. It's very rare, by the way, in my experience, to even get a Yavesh B'Yavesh question, generally speaking. That seems to be pretty rare. I've only gotten one. It's unfortunate because if you don't get Yavesh B'Yavesh questions, some of the most fun lumdus in Yeridea goes out the window. You just never deal with it. Once in my life, I had a student, I couldn't believe it, a student came to me and he said that if someone he knew, shechted the chickens, and he had shechted 10 chickens, and two of them were trefa, or dish of a trefa. The wing was broken or something like that. And his friend had given him three chickens. His friend intended to give him three kosher chickens. And then his friend went back and only found six. He only found, I think, one of the trefas. So they found only six chickens, which means that one of the cheated out where one of the chickens was. And this created all sorts of fascinating alumnus questions of safek and sveik sveika. And I went to a shechter and I said, Rebbe, you're never going to believe the shaila I just got. You don't get those questions anymore. This is not Europe where people are shechting chickens in the backyard. So yavesh b'yavesh is pretty rare, but it's also the most fun for us even when we talk about it, because the idea that I have three pieces of kosher meat there, and according to some rishonim, I can take the two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of trefa meat, and according to the position of the rush, I can take all three pieces of meat, put mustard on them, put them on a club sandwich, and eat them as one. So that we find fascinating, right? As the rush says, Iser nepach lios heter. The Iser is transformed, at least for now, into heter. So anyway, but so Forgetting the rarity, I want to sort of just review what are the rules here. What are the basic rules? So let's talk about Mimbimino first. That's the easier one to talk about. So if you take a look at the top left of the four boxes, not the labels. So Mimbimino, something of the same flavor that blends together. That's lach belach. So it says it's batel berov min haTorah. Min haTorah, you need a majority, more than 50% of the heter, and it would all be mutter. Midrabanan, they require shishim. You need 60. And here we can't even talk about bitul atam because you can't taste it by definition. So shishim, period. And the reason for the requirement of shishim, they say, is exera of min atu eno mino. The concern is that it gets mixed into something of a different flavor where the stakes are much higher, as we're going to see in a moment in the right box. Okay, there is a minority opinion here that we have will encounter. Again, I've mentioned it before. We discussed it in the context of the run about Davar Sheyesh Lamatir and why it's not Batel. There's a minority opinion of Rabbi Yehuda and Rav and Shmuel that Mimbimino is never Batel. That's learned from an interesting aspect of Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol goes in, he sprinkles the blood of the par inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he sprinkles the blood of the Sa'ir inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he sprinkles the blood of the par on the outside of the paroches, the curtain. Then he sprinkles the blood of the Sa'ir on the outside of the paroches. And then he mixes the two bloods together, and he puts from their blood on the golden altar that was inside the Kodesh, where they burn the Ketores normally. And it says, V'lakach midam haparo midam ha-sa'ir. And the Gemara comments that everybody knows, the God knew, that there's more dam from the par than from the sa'ir. The cow has more blood. And yet the Kohen is mixing the two together, and you should have applied Bitul Barov. And assuming, in truth, it doesn't matter which there's more blood of. It's actually kind of irrelevant. But you should have said, there's more par blood here, and therefore,
mixing all of both of them?
You don't have, so let's put this. You're asking a good question. When you makabel the dam, you're not makabel necessarily every single drop. But here's the bottom line. You know when you mix the two together, what is the odds that there's exactly the same amount of both? And once there's not exactly the same amount of both, one of them is batel and the other. And yet the Torah says midam hapar umidam hasair, which means they're both extant. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda concludes according to the Gemara, ein dam mevatel dam, and he says that in the Mishnah, and therefore min bimino is never batel when you have a mixture, when it's blended. Rashi, in one place in Shas, paskins like that, another place in Shas, he paskins not like Rabbi Yehuda. Almost all the Rishonim assume min bimino is batel, and min haTorah it's batel berov, and min the Rabbanon it requires shishim. So that's the top left of the four boxes. Now, what happens when it's yavesh biyavesh? So, min haTorah, it's batel berov, and midrabanan, it's batel berov. So if I have two pieces of kosher salami and one piece of trace salami and they mix together and I can't tell which is which, so the halacha is that that all three may be eaten. The Rush says you can put them on a sandwich, eat them bevasachas at once. The Rashba says no, you can eat all of them, but you can't eat them all in the same moment. Others say that one person shouldn't eat all three, but two different people can eat all three, and the Merami Rutenberg was machmir to throw away one piece, or give it to a dog, or give it to a non-Jew who was allowed to eat it, because it just bothered him. But really, al pidin, we probably hold like the Rashba, and I think the Rama is that you can eat all of them, but not at once. And although some say we hold like the Rush, and I think the Rama says it's better that one person shouldn't eat all three. So
even though one is
Vadai, even though one was Vadai. Vadai non-kosher. The Rush's logic is, and the Rashba agrees with him probably midaraisa, is that iser nepach lios heter. The iser has now been transformed into heter. What's very curious about the Rush's shita is that what happens now if two more pieces of treif salami fall into the mixture? So the Rush, even though it's hard to understand why, the Rush says once that happens, chazra v'neora, the treif salami wakes up. It's retransformed into treif. Now you have three pieces of treif, two pieces of kosher, and it's aser. It's very hard to explain for the Rush. Once you say, iser nepach lios heter, it's been transformed, then how it turns around and wakes up. Right? We're not talking about a flavoring. If a small amount of chaser schmaltz falls into the meatballs, and you can't taste it, and now a little more chaser schmaltz falls in, and a little more, and then you finally taste it, you understand. Chaser v'neora is about, it means literally, it turns around and wakes up. You understand, because now you can taste it. But here you can never taste it. Right. So it's really just how do you view it, I'll call it metaphysically. Okay. Now, there's one exception, one major exception, there are a few of them, but to the rule about Yavish Batuar Salami, that's only if it's not a Davar Chashuv, it's not something of great significance. But if it is something which is a Davar Chashuv, such as, let's say, it's a beria, it's a whole creature, or it's what's called the Chaticha HaRu'uya L'Skabed Ba, L'Shnei HaOrchem. It's a piece of meat that you could present in very nice company. So you have a whole filet mignon here, and then it's not batel because we say that it has such chashivos, such significance in its own right, that it cannot be batel. It's always there, even though you can't identify it. But if I have, you know, three slices of salami, and one of them is treif, and two of them are kosher, so both mid Oraisa and mid Rabbanon, it's batel barov. Okay. Now, let me go across to the rarest case on the bottom right. As I said, it's difficult to envision, but if you have a yavish b'yavish mixture with discrete items not blending, it's batel barov min haTorah, but midrabanan, it's but in requires shishim. And the reason is the following. We're afraid that you might end up cooking them together. Once you cook them together, the flavor is going to transfer from where the iser, wherever the iser is, to the heter, and this could be a more serious problem. Okay, that's a rare case. I wouldn't worry about it. The interesting case, and the one that's going to preoccupy us now in our sugya, is the top right box, which is what happens when you have a mixture that blends, lach belach, but it's min b'shein omino, two different flavors. So, min haTorah, there is a machlokas harishonim. Rashi and the Rambam, and I may be oversimplifying Rashi here, hold that less than kezayis bichtei achilas pras, which is either 1/6 or 1/8, as we mentioned at the beginning of Shir, they hold that if there's less than 1/6 or less than 1/8, then min haTorah you're allowed to consume the mixture, even though you can still taste the flavor of the prohibited substance. That is what our Gemara is going to call ta'amo v'lo mamasho. We're going to read it in two lines. Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba and the Ravid claim that no, you require shishim. You have to have bitul atam because tam keikar is doraisa. Even though there's less than a kezayis bichtei achilas pras, less than 1/6, less than 1/8. So even if you ate an entire pras of this mixture bitoch kedei achilas pras, you still would not get a kezayis of iser. So nonetheless, they say that tam keikar is an iser doraisa, and that has its. And that has its ramifications. Midrabanan, everybody agrees, you have to have bitul atam. Meaning, even Rashi and the Rambam, who believe that once you have less than a kezayis betoch de'achidas pras, there's no issur d'oraisa, they agree that midrabanan, you have to have shishim, you have to have bitul hatam. So, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch for a brief moment, because Shulchan Aruch is going to talk about the following case. Supposing you have issur that gets mixed into heter. But then the mixture spills, and some of it gets lost. And now you're not able to measure how much there was to start with. Let's say you know 2 ounces of your chas v'shmalz got mixed into a taroves, but before you can measure the taroves, it spilled, and you don't know how much there was there originally. So you have a suffix whether or not you had shishim. Now, let's assume in this case, as the Shulchan Aruch will state, you know that there was more iser than more heter than iser. In fact, let's say you know that there was at least 10 times heter keneged the iser, so you know there's no kezayis betoch de'achilas pras. So the Mechaber writes as follows, Im nis'arev min b'mino, if you have a taroves of things of the same flavor, v'nishpach, and it spills out, be'inyan she'ein yecholim la'amod alav l'sharo, in such a case where it's impossible now to calculate, l'sha'er, what was the total amount to start with, how much heter there was, Im noda shahaya rubo, if you know that there was definitely, he says, in this case it makes sense, a majority of heter, so you means that means you know that min haTorah for sure it's batel. And there might have been shishim, but you're not sure. So then he says it's mutter. Why? Because sveka the rabbanan lakula. Because the whole shaila, once you're talking about two things of the same flavor, and you know there was a robe of heter, and it might have been shishim, but there might not have been shishim, so it's only a shaila the rabbanan, and therefore it is mutter. Ve'im lo noda shahaya rubo heter. But if you don't know for sure that there was even that the heter was a majority, let's forget that. Forget that there. It might have been shishim, might not have been shishim. You're not sure about that, but you're not even sure if there was a majority of heter. So then the mechaber says it's aser, because if there were a majority of iser, or even 50-50, then it would be aser min haTorah. And sveika d'oraisa would be lechumra. I'm going to skip over the Rama for a moment. I mentioned this Rama. It's a very difficult Rama. But then the Mechaber continues two lines later. Aval, im nis'arev b'she'eno mino. If you have two substances that get mixed together, and they are of a different flavor, v'nishpach, and they spill, b'inyan she'en yecholdem lamar alav l'shar. Here too, you can't tell how much there was. Afilu noda shehaya rubo heter aser. Even if you know that there was a majority of heter, but you don't know whether there was shishim, it's aser. Because the mechaber is being machmir for the opinion, you can't tell in the Shulchan Aruch, but in the Beis Yosef, he tells you this, he's being machmir to assume, like Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba and the Ravid, that min b'mino is b'no Saint Tam min haTorah. And if you can taste the iser, then it's an iser daraisa to consume the food. And hence, if we're not sure whether mimisheinu mino is an iser daraisa, if you can taste the iser, even though it's 1/30th. And therefore, in a case where we know there was a majority of heter, but we don't know that there was bitul tam, we don't know that there was shishim, you have to be machmir. Now, there are achronim who will say that this is not a din bevada. In other words, this is still a suffik in its own right. Because it's interesting, nobody here thought to say that you're dealing with a sfeik sfeika. The rule is that suffik and a daraisa and a scriptural issue is lachomra. Safek at the Rabbanan is lakula, but even a sfeik sfeika by a doraisa, if it's two sfeikos, either it's A, in which case it's not a problem, or maybe it's B, in which it is a problem. But even if it's B, there are two sub-possibilities, C, which is not a problem, but D, which is a problem. So we often say that sfeika doraisa is lakula. So in this case, one could have made such an argument. It's a safek whether or not there was bitul, whether there was shishim, and vidun tim salomar, that there might not have been shishim. Halacha might be like Rashi and the Rambam, that I guess in that case that you don't require shishim in haTorah, so maybe it should have been.
I still don't know whether you had kazayit. You could have just been rove.
You don't know whether there's bitul atam. You mean shishim.
Right.
But what I'm saying is,
this fake a sfeika, you don't even know if Rashi would have been okay with it, because you don't know if it was kazayit. It could have just been rove.
You're correct. Let's say it's a case where you know. Let's say you do know this. You know that it was less than a tenth, but you don't know if it was less than a 60th. You're correct. Right. In other words, if you're 100% correct. If it was a suffix that there might even been more than a kazayis b'tachias pras, then even Rashi would hold that it's also because of a suffix. But the Mechaber's p'sak here, I know, based upon what he writes in the Beis Yosef, is he being machmir beyond that. He's being machmir for the position of the Rashba, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Ravid, that Tam ki ikar is mida oraisa. So, but this, really, in a nutshell, is the way, is the halacha. Min b'mino, same flavor, midaraisa, it's berov. Midarabanan, if it's lach belach, you need shishim. If it's yavesh b'yavesh, if it's discrete items, rov is sufficient. If it's not, a davar chashuv. Min b'she'eno mino, it's a machlokas harishonim, whether the tam, ki'ikar, is daraisa, if the tam is treated as if the iser is actually there. And therefore, some rishonim say you require shishim in haTorah, some rishonim say no, you only require less than a kazayis b'chilas pras min haTorah, but everybody agrees that midrabanan, at least, there has to be bitul atam, there has to be less than 1/60th.
1/8.
Okay. Now, one last Rama, which, if we didn't... Yes, Adrian. No, no.
What if you have something, two things, but one of them doesn't really have a flavor? Let's say gelatin, which I don't think has a flavor, but it thickens something.
Okay, so that's an excellent question. And the answer, it's the same question with rennet. And even yeast. Sourdough, it's a very tiny amount and you don't taste the sourdough. So what you're asking about is what we refer to as what's called the davar hama'amid. Something that literally causes something else to stand up. It means to take another form. And the halacha is almost everybody holds. Everybody holds that davar hamamid is not batel, even if it's less than 1/60th. In the same way that if you have, now there may be a difference between these two, but let's say I have a powerful flavoring agent, and I put 1/1000th in, and it flavors the food. So that is the machlokas Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam, whether that's an issa daraisa, an issa drabanan. Everybody agrees it's awesome. It's Rabbanan. When it comes to Davar Hamamid, like rennet, like gelatin, so everybody agrees there, assuming that it's actually treif. The gelatin question in the modern version is complicated. Okay, leaving us, let's assume, and rennet, this could also be complicated a little bit, but let's say, to use the way they used to make cheese, which they would take the animal's stomach, just the stomach itself, and they dip it in the milk, and that would you know, transfer the enzymes, the bacteria, whatever it was that would start the curdling process. So there again, you don't taste, you know, the stomach is certainly, it's if it's from a non-kosher animal or if it's from a non-slaughtered animal. So it's definitely nevela. And so we say that midrabanan davar hamamid is not batel. Almost everybody holds that midoraisa, if you can't actually taste it, that it's batel, but we are machmer with the Rabbanon that if the Isser gives shape to the heter, then it's as if it's still there. The concept of bittul normally is that it doesn't exist anymore, right? The concept of bittul doesn't exist because you normally you can't taste it, right? If a little chaz v'shmalz gets mixed into the meatballs and I can't taste it, for all intents and purposes, it no longer exists. So the rennet, I grant you can't taste it, but if I look, it was milk before, and now because of the non-kosher rennet, all of a sudden it's cheese. What do you mean the rennet doesn't exist anymore? I have eidos right in front of me. I have absolute proof that the rennet is still here. Yeah, same thing for gelatin, same thing for yeast. But that's a din de rabbanon. The davar hamamid is not batel, even though there was less than 1/60. Okay. Now, the last piece, and I would not have done this if not for the fact that it's in this sif in the Shulchan Aruch. I remind you that in the last couple of months we explored a couple of lot earlier. What is the definition of min bimino and min b'she'eno mino? There was machlokas Abaye and Rava. Now Abaye said what we thought to be intuitive, what we generally think to be intuitive, that the definition of min bimino is if they taste the same, and the definition of min b'she'eno mino is if they taste different. But Rava said no. Rava said that whether two things are considered min bimino or min b'she'eno mino depends upon what their shame is, what they're called. If you remember, we had the example of three substances. We have grapes, we have freshly pressed wine, and then fermented wine. And what the Gemara suggested is that freshly pressed wine, when you look at shame, has the same name as the fermented wine. They're both called wine. But when you look at flavor, it fundamentally has the same flavor as the grapes. And now, this issue, so that's what we said at the time. Now, what I explained at the time, though, is that this debate about mimimino and what the definition of mimino is limited to situations where you already have more than 60 heter keneged the iser. It's relevant only for things like yayin nesach. What's the halacha with yayin nesach? Yayin nesach is not batel, even if you have 1,000 times kosher wine, by min bimino. Meaning wine into wine, even one drop of yayin nesach can make the entire vat usser. You wine into water, or wine into, you know, any other substance that's not wine, so the shishim is what's required. So now we have to know, when do we say shishim, and when do we say there's no bittul at all? So that's the debate between Abaye and Rava. But what we said at the time is, that debate only makes sense in a context in which you have so much heter already, that clearly you can't, no matter what, no matter how you label things, you will not be able to taste the isser. But if you're talking about this machlokas of Rashi versus Rabbeinu Tam, what's called min b'mino, min b'she'eno, of course min b'she'eno mino has to be things of different flavors. Because you're going to, let's say, take this example where I have fermented wine and unfermented wine. And they get mixed together, and there's less than, and there's like, you know, there's 49% fermented wine and 51% unfermented wine. You're going to tell me, let's say that if the fermented wine, the 49% is asur min haTorah, that it's batel b'rov min haTorah here? That's crazy. Of course it's not batel b'rov min haTorah. You can taste the fermented wine. The whole debate, whether or not you follow tam, flavor, for defining mimishen amino versus shame, that's only when there's no physical flavor even potentially present here. Then we can talk about the chumrah of no bittul, or those substances that require 100, which is trumah, or 200, orla, to be mevatel. There you can talk about what's called mimimino, mimishen amino. But if you're talking about the essence of whether or not we have flavor here in minatari, you need to be mevatel, of course mimimino is defined by flavor, by tam. Even Rava would agree there. That's what virtually everyone under the sun should say. But if you look in the Ramah here, on the second line in the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, "Un le'inyan min b'mino, az linan basar shema. im hushave have min bemino, aval lo aslina basar taima im hushave ola. So this Ramah, the Shach goes crazy. He says, what's the Ramah talking about? This makes absolutely no sense. I don't think we accept the Ramah. Not clear what he was thinking. He's passing like Rava, except for this is the wrong issue. The Nachlokas Habayin Rava is virtually irrelevant in our lives, because we tend to be Meka when it comes to Yayin Esech, that the shear of Yayin Esech, that it's not Yayin Esech that is never Batel, is only real Yayin Esech, and we have Stam Yenam, and Ravina Tam says, Stam Yenam is Batel B'Shishim. And I suspect what we would rarely anyway get wine mixed in, Yayin Nesach mixed into wine. It's more likely somebody put it into a tavshil or somebody mixed it into the food. So we don't in our lives generally deal with, certainly in Chutz La'aretz, we don't deal with Truma, we don't deal with Kilaya Kerem, we don't deal with Orla, we don't deal with Yayin Nesach. So the Machlokas Abayin Rava is academic mostly for us. But that's assuming that, of course, once you're talking about our Simen in Shulchan Aruch, Min Bimino is defined by flavor. We want to know, can you taste the prohibited food? Can you not taste the prohibited food? And the only, if that's the concern, the only way to define Min Bimino is based upon flavor. Okay. Marshall. And welcome back. We didn't see, I was hoping you'd be here last week when it was probably 19 degrees or something and I wanted to see you'd be in shorts. But the betting line in Tinek was, of course, you'd be in shorts. Yes, go ahead. Cold. Well, there is a Gemara in Zvachim and in Chulin. Rava gives a very important three-part rule. Amar Rabbanan B'taima, Amar Rabbanan Beruba, and Amar Rabbanan B'shishim. So, Taima, in other words, Bittul comes in one of these three things. Either Rove, Shishim, or Ta'am, tasting. If it's min b'sheino mino of heter, meaning truma falls into chulin, or you want to know, you could even have a case of chala falls into a non-basar, and you want to know whether it tastes like milk in terms of mixing with meat. So there, we would say at least in midin ha-gemara, Yisrael can taste it, or truma kohen can taste it. He can tell you, I do taste, I don't taste. Min b'sheino mino of iser. Oh, no, I got this wrong. Hold on. Amar Rabbanan b'taima, Amar Rabbanan b'kfeilan, Amar Rabbanan b'shishim. That's what it is. The taima I gave you example. Yisrael tasted. Kfeila means a non-Jewish baker or cook. It's not clear whether he has to be a professional. There's a whole machlokas that we shown him. Probably the very next sif in Shulchan Aruch, or the sif that precedes it. You give it to a non-Jew to taste, and he tells you, I can taste it, I can't taste it, and so on. And then, min b'she'eno mino, a case where there are two different flavors, but there's no, of iser, but there's no goy around to taste it for you. Or, min b'mino, where nobody can taste the difference, that's b'shishim. So the answer to your question is, if it's heter, a Jew should be able to taste it. The Acharonim are machmir not to rely upon it. Don't ask me why. And if it's iser, then you give it to a goy to taste. Ashkenazim never rely upon that. Sfaradim, in theory, could.
But given all the other contexts we've had where you begin with a healthy suspicion about the motives of the non-Jew, and you get to keep it, if you say, actually, I can still taste the chazer shmalz, why in this case would you get this?
So there's a lengthy discussion about two issues, and I'm not going to go further than this in terms of the guy. Number one, some Rishonim say the guy has to be Masiach Lefituma. In other words, you can't ask him in such a way that he realizes you're asking a Shaila and there's a practical outcome. So that's one debate in the Rishonim. The other debate in the Rishonim was whether this has to be Dafka Akfela, a professional. And there, the logic being he's not going to lie because Uman Lo Meira Umanase. Right? His taste is very important, and if he lies to you, he can ruin his reputation. So the issue is discussed, and there are at least four or five different shittas of Rishonim on this. Right. Okay. If you want to pursue it, there's a very long shach who talks about this issue. When we rely upon Mesiach Lefitumo, that's the most conceptually interesting piece. And it's right, it's on the first sif. It's even before the monstrous shach attacking this Ramah. So a couple of sif cuttings before that is the one talking about the whole issue of Kfela. Okay. Now, with that in mind, that background in mind, so now let's turn our attention to our Gemara. We are now on the bottom of Samach Zayin Amid Aleph, the third line from the end. Amar Rabbi Abahu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Kol shetamo umamasho. Anytime you have a mixture where you have ta'am and mamashus, mamashus means the stuff is still be'en, it's not like the vegetables in the cheesecloth can, you know, sack that you pulled out of the mixture. Kol shetamo umamasho asur vilokin alav. It's asur, which on its own right, you wouldn't know whether it's the raisa or the rabbanon, but it says vilokin alav, it means it's an issur daraisa. And then the zehu, what is the definition of tamo umamasho kizayis bichtei achilas pras? Right? We'll read Rashi, we mentioned before, assuming that a kabetza is two kizayisim in volume, which again, it's a problematic assumption, but we'll just work with that, that's what seems to be assumed. And a pras is either three or four beitzim, a machlokas Rashi and the Rambam. Therefore, it is 1 in 6 or 1 in 8 would be the shear. That's called, if you have at least 1/6 or at least 1/8, that's called tamo umamasha. Tamo, turn over the page. Vilo mamasha. Asur. Vein lokin alav. Now this is not entirely clear what the nature of the prohibition is. It could be that it's asur midrabanan, and thus one does not get malchus. Or it could be that it's asur min haTorah, but for some reason you don't get malchus. Now, I'll tell you right now, from a conceptual perspective, why? What is the problem, or what might be the reason that it could be asur min haTorah and you don't get malchus? And what I mean by the question is as follows. If when you have a mixture, a taroves, the question is, are you eating the isser or are you not eating the isser? Is the isser here or is the isser not here? If that's the case, this seems to be like a camel, right? It's the horse designed by committee. It's either asur min haTorah because you're eating chazir and you get malchus for it, or it's not asur min haTorah and therefore you don't get malchus. How, if the question is, if you want to even formulate it, ta'am ki'ikar, as we often say. It's not the Gemara's formulation here, but it's the Gemara's formulation in Chulin. Is the ta'am of the Isser like the ikar, like the essence of the Isser is actually there or not? So then, how is it that you could split the difference and say it's asur min haTorah, but you don't get malchus? We'll have to explore that. It's a machlokas harishonim, because the machlokas harishonim is whether or not asur here means midoraisa, but you don't get malchus, or asur midrabanan, and that's why you don't get malchus.
What does it mean you have to have it banned? In other words, if it's not ben, right? If it's just tamo, there's no mamasho.
Right, but then the question is, why would it be asur min haTorah then?
Why would it be asur?
In other words, because if you want to say that tam ki'ikar means, literally it means that the isser is still there, even though it's just its flavor,
right,
so you get malchus for eating chazir.
Correct.
But why would it be asur min haTorah and yet not to get
malchus?
Right. The answer to the question in theory would be, is that tam, but you have to figure out why that should be, that tam ki'ikar is a new isser. In other words, tam ki'ikar is not the isser of chazir, it's a new isser. Well, we will get to explore that at some point. And then the Gemara has one last line, and it says, the Rabbi Abahu's statement, the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and that's really why this is here. Ve'im riba ta'am lefgam mutar. But if it's some type of a leniency, if somehow the isser, even though its taste is there, is actually being pogain the heter, it's actually detracting from the flavor, then it's going to be mutter. Okay, we'll come back to that. That's where we'll stop reading in the Gemara right now and go back to analyze what's going on. But the whole reason why this statement is here is not so we can have lots of fun doing the lumdus of Yoredei and figuring out what the basic shitos are, but because the Gemara wanted this last line, because this last line the Gemara is going to say proves that we hold like the second lashon of Reish Lakish, right? Of the two lashonos that we read at the beginning about what's the definition of Sin Talmud Gam, this line of Rabbi Yochanan is going to shed light on which is the correct version of Reish Lakish and which affects the psak. And then the sugya is going to go back to focusing on our Saint Talmud Gam. So this is kind of an exceedingly important piece thrown into the middle just by tangent. So we're going to look at the exceedingly important piece, which is just the tangent. So what is the definition of tamo umamasho, where it's asur and you get malchus, versus tamo veloma masho, where Rabbi Yochanan says it's aser, but you don't get malchus. So let's start with Rashi and Daf Samach Zayin Amid Aleph. Rashi, the last Rashi, it's the long one. Kol shetama umamasho osur v'lokin alav v'zehu kezayis bechtei achilas pras. Rashi, you'll note, in our deeper Hamaskel doesn't have the word osur and the vav on v'lokin. Instead, he just has lokin alav. I'm not going to explore what that might mean for now, but for our purposes at the moment, it doesn't really matter. The bottom line is it's Aser min HaTorah and you get Malkus. So Rashi says, Va'al kigon ze nemar shiur kezayis bichtei achilas pras halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's in reference to this case that the idea of kezayis bichtei achilas pras is mentioned, is known halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. It's for this case where mamasho is mixed in and the shear is kezayis bichtei achilas pras. Rashi explains, she'im yesh b'kishir pras shel tavshil, if within the amount, if it's blended together, and when you have a pras of this mixture, you have kezayis min ha'iser, then lokan alav, even though you're not eating the kezayis of Isser literally at once or contiguously, because there's other stuff here, kevan de'eno shoe ba'achiloso mishehischil la'ochlo ad shegamro ela kidei achilas pras, since from the time that you start eating some part of this kezayis of Isser until the time you finish the kezayis of Isser, you eat it all within the shear of kidei achilas pras, mitzarefes achilaso viloka. In other words, it's not different like the case I gave before. I have my piece of chazir, I take a nibble, I take another nibble, I take another nibble. As long as I get all my nibbles in to reach a kezayis within however many minutes is kedei achilas pras, I get malkos. If I go beyond the limit, then I didn't eat a kezayis betoch techilas pras, and I don't get malkos. So Rashi says that in this case, even though you're eating other stuff, since you will eat a kezayis of Isser within the allotted time, it's all mitzarefis. It all combines to be one achila, and you get malchus. Aval im ein bichtei achilas pras shel tavshil Isser. If you don't have, it's less than a sixth or an eighth, and I'll explain this shear in a moment. If you don't have a kezayis within the time that you eat a pras of this tavshil, which means there's no way for you to eat a kezayis betocha de'achilas pras, because in a pras of this mixture, there's less than a kezayis, there's just not enough. So if that's the case, havalahu kishtei achilos shel shnei yamin, it's like eating a piece over two different days. The ain lokin, you don't get malchus. The kim lahu l'rabbanan, the achilas pras haver shiur shehiyas achila. That is, in order to be eating, where the Torah either prohibits you from eating a kezayis, where the Torah mandates that you eat a kezayis like matzah, in order to be considered an achila of kezayis, it must be eaten betoch kedei achilas pras. One should note, by the way, that the crazy Mishagas Pesach, we're not Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, but I'll indulge in it anyway. I've been always amused by the people who are exceedingly machmir to take the largest shear of kezayis they can imagine and the smallest amount of time of kedei achilas pras, which makes absolutely no sense. All you have to do with the matzah is eat continuously and not stop to chatter. Because the bottom line is, if you take, let's say you think, you know, a kezayis of matzah is actually, you know, the size of a watermelon. So that's fine, as long as you eat it consistently. That means, remember, the shear of kedei achilas pras is a multiple of number of watermelons that you have to eat. Therefore, as long as you steadily eat, whenever you reach the real shear of kezayis, you'll also have done it kedei achilas pras, in fact, with plenty of time to spare. Right? In other words, your kezayis of a watermelon, even if you eat it slowly, it would be, the shear would be how much time people normally would take to eat six or eight watermelons. So, okay, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But the point is that as long as you eat consistently, it doesn't have to be a goal to stuff everything in your mouth as quickly as you can, on the assumption that, you know, that a kezayis is this big, but you have to eat it in 2.5 minutes, right? In other words, if a kezayis is this big, then you probably have 25 minutes to eat it. If a kezayis is this big, then maybe you have 2.5 minutes to eat it. So as long as you eat consistently, you'll get your kezayis in bechtechilas pras. You may not know when you reach the finish line, alpidin, but who cares? And if you like eating matzah, so all fine. Just eat. Okay.
I have a question about malchus.
Yes.
Is this the sort of
violation that the Beis Din would allocate malchus to? What are they talking about? Just a level of severity?
For all intents and purposes in the sugya, in the days of Rabbi Yochanan, they didn't give real malchus anymore. It's just what malchus tells you is it's clearly an issur d'oraisa, and if there were a Beis Din in all the right circumstances, theoretically you would get malchus. Lokin is a signal more than an issue of practice. In other words, that's why I said that the first version, the first side is Aser v'lokan alav, tells you immediately it's an Issa d'oraisa. Aser v'ein lokan alav leaves you hanging, like it's Aser, but the question is it d'oraisa or not? You don't get malchus, but there are lots of things that you violate Minat Torah that you don't get malchus for. So all lokan alav really signals to us is that it's an Issa d'oraisa, and it does signal one more thing, which was my comment before, which is it can be traced to a particular pasuk that says, do not do X. What we're going to see is that the Isser of Tam Ke'ikar, if it's Doraisa, may not stem from a negative prohibition. It may actually stem from a mitzvah saseh. That mitzvah saseh, perhaps being the obligation the Torah has of being kasher and kalim. The Torah doesn't say you can't eat the food that you cook in a non-kosher kli. The Torah says when they came back from Minyan, kol davar shev av eish taviv eish v'taher. Right? The Torah says you have to kasher them. From that, one is tempted and may even correctly infer that the tam of pots, of food in pots, actually is an issur d'oraisa, perhaps according to everybody. In fact, there may be no other way of explaining. In other words, according to Rashi, Shita, you can ask the question, according to Rashi and the Rambam, how is it that you could say Tom Kiker is only the Rabbanon? The Torah says you have to kasher clay midyan, right? There's no end there. There's no mamashus there. You're talking only about Tom. So how could it be that the Torah requires you to kasher kalim unless Tom Kiker is d'oraisa? Assume for the moment that Tom Kiker were d'oraisa and that were the source, that wouldn't be a los asay. That would be an asay. The asay is kasher the kalim. Why? Because if you don't, you're going to end up getting the flavor of X. Okay, so lokin means A, it's aser min haTorah, and B, it means it has to be traceable to a discrete lav. Right? Anything that we're not allowed to do but it's formulated in the positive, what Chazal referred to as either an isur asay or a lav haba michlal asay, it's inferred, so you don't get malchus for such a los asay. So, but that's all that lokin means.
You have to have people who issue warnings.
Yeah, agreed. That's why this is not, the lokin is not the directions to Beis Din. It's identifying the nature of the prohibition. Okay, so that's the first part of Rashi. In the second part of Rashi, I'm not going to read this Rashi. We'll stop with this. Rashi explains to you how we know the shear of process, and if you work it through according to Rashi, the last three words in Rashi, Rashi says, v'hu arba beitzim. It's four eggs, which should be eight kezesim. The Rambam holds it's three, which would be six kezesim. So kezayis betoch te'achilas pras is either 1/6 or 1/8. Anything less than that may be tasteable. That's what we would call, it would seem from Rashi, and we'll talk about this more next week, that would seem to be called ta'amo viloma masha. That's what at least would be implied by this Rashi. We have to read the Rashi on the top of Samach Zayin Amid Beis, but we'll pick up with that next week. Okay. Any questions?
The mamosho, by this definition, is basically the
kezayis. Kezayis, petoch kedeas pras, right. That's straight up. Okay.
Volume measure.